Welcome to the forecast. To my right, we have AP18. How you doing, Alex?
Hello, everyone.
And to his left, we have GW40. How you doing, Garrett?
I'm slick and ready to go.
He is slick. I am Marvin. This is the Wednesday Comics Forecast. We're going to tell you the comics coming out for April 11th, 2018. That is the second Wednesday of April. Hey, guys, we're almost about a month into spring almost, right?
Really? Because it snowed yesterday.
The year's going by fast. We're in April already. And comics come out every Wednesday. And they keep on coming. It's just like the U.S. Postal Mail. You can't stop it. Let's see here. First, Boom Studios. I just wanted to mention one of these. RoboCop Citizens of Arrest number one. This is a new comic from Boom Studios. This is from Brian Wood and Jorge Calleo. Anybody who's a fan of RoboCop, I should be getting this book. Because Brian Wood's a good writer. He did DMZ, Briggs Land he's doing currently. He did Northlanders. So he's used to doing kind of like political comics. And so RoboCop, it's one of my favorite movies. Garrett, do you like RoboCop?
Yeah, I enjoyed it. I mean, are you getting the comic?
Well, here's the thing.
Just literally said like a minute ago, like if you're a fan of RoboCop.
No, I know. I was going to make a joke. I was like, it's $3.99 and I would only buy it for a dollar. That's a joke for a RoboCop.
Dead or alive, or coming with me.
I actually did see this and it really get me excited. It's from Boom's been really good lately, right? They're doing the Power Rangers books.
Yeah. And, I think Boom's one of the greatest studios right now.
I actually probably will get this because I am looking for like a. This does seem like the flavor that I need right now, looking for some variety in my comics. So RoboCop.
Well,
yes.
Little secret on Hoopla, they do it issue by issue for Boom Comics.
That is true. The only thing about this I really don't like, I like the preview. The art's not really like 100% for me. It's kind of cartoony for a RoboCop. Like I would want it to be more serious looking, but I guess we'll see. DC Comics. This is Detective Comics 978. This is James Tynion IV. Javi Fernandez, this is Batman Eternal, excuse me, part 3. Congratulations, Batwoman. You have an entire army at your command, so how are you going to use it? Alex, what do you think of Detective Comics, that cover here? They're all saluting because the colony wants you. Are you in?
I like that cover. I like the team to an extent. I don't know enough about Azrael to really like him, but I like Batwing on this team. I'm not caught up, obviously. I'm at least 40 books behind. But I'm excited to see.
But not a detective, this. Right?
No, sorry. I'm only one issue behind on detective, but 40 over all my books. I like the Civil War-esque feel. At least that's how I feel about it. It probably really isn't. But it's fun to see this military Batwoman go up against Bruce and his vigilante group. So I'm excited for it.
Garrett, what do you think?
Yeah, I think that I'm all caught up and like things are really picking up. I mean, you thought that, you know, it dipped and then with the Clayface storyline, it was getting crazy, like over the top. Now you add this storyline into the mix. Holy crap. Like so much suspense, so much like animosity between both factions, and it literally just like seems like if one more bad thing happens that these people are going to be gunning at each other's throats. So fun book.
Flash number 44. This is Joshua Williamson and Carmine G. D'Amico. Perfect Storm part 6. Grodd rains lightning down on Central City to burn it to the ground. The Flash is as fast as a bolt of lightning, but will be as fast as 1,000. Garrett, what do you think? You gave praise to Flash a couple weeks ago. Well, not a couple weeks ago, maybe a month ago. And now we're getting to the end of this arc, leading all the way to Flash War starting in May. Are you anticipating this issue?
Yeah, I think that, again, this is another book that's really been picking up. The storyline with Gorilla Grodd, the art by Infantino, or whatever you say his name, is superb. And, like, I think that you can definitely tell how this story is going to lead into the Flash War coming out soon. You know, it was also it's been a great arc, like Barry checking who he is. And like, you know, Barry's that guy that always wants to help and he wants to be the best person he possibly can be. And you can see when your character flaws kind of sink through that you got to kind of remember who you are as a person. And like, this is a great arc to capture that.
Alex, you behind this book?
Yes. Okay. I'm going to save you time. If you think I'm behind on it, odds are I am. I do like this arc, though. Yes, I may be one issue behind, but I like how they've made Grodd to be more of a powerful, methodical character, and that he actually poses a threat instead of just being a giant ape who wants to eat Barry's brain. So I'm appreciative to this arc.
Hal Jordan in the Green Lantern Corps, number 42. This is Robert Vendetti, Raphael Sandoval. This is Dark Stars Rising, part one. It's a brand new arc starting here. I think we all were in agreement that Hal Jordan's been on a resurgence. It kind of dipped for a second, but Vendetti caught his feet and his back's running at this. Garrett, I'm guessing you're caught up on this.
How
did
I am.
How did the Zod arc end? Was it good for you?
Yeah, I think it ended pretty well. The way that it ends, though, there's something that happens, which I think, you know, that unified Green Lantern Corps that we're used to is going to have a little bit of a fracture in it. Not like a significant amount, but enough so that it's hard to say without spoiling things to come. But as far as the Zod part of it all, his plans coming up, I would foresee that we're going to either see him A, again in a Green Lantern book, or B, in another book from what his plan is going to be at the end of this arc. But the team aspect of the Green Lantern Corps, like from last issue, last arc, was really fun and like really awesome. I don't know what to expect going into this new arc based on the last like three pages of the last issue.
You know, I think when Hal Jordan and the Green Lantern Corps actually started to dip, I think it was after the Yellow Lanterns left, because I loved those issues with the whole yellow and green teaming up and being this, you know, buddy cop type thing. It kind of got away from that excitement for me for like the last 15 issues, 20 issues. I'm hoping we get back into that kind of gritty, and maybe it will be. I'm not caught up on it, obviously. Hopefully we get back into the grittiness of this interstellar cop group. So
I'm assuming we will. Vendetti's only doing 50 issues, he said. And so we're going to be wrapping up to him finishing his story. So I assume Sinestro, all that's going to wrap up, and we'll feel we'll see the end of that story. So I'm also curious who takes over the book, you know. Vendetti's did a good, nice 50 issues. It does seem, I agree with you, Alex. It did seem like that was the main story, and then we've had a couple mini arcs to kind of like let that sit for a second, and those weren't bad, but I am more interested in that main story, so I'm glad we should probably get back to it before he leaves. I assume we will. The Immortal Men, number one, this is James Tynion IV, Jim Lee on art, Scott Williams helping him out. Let's be 100% honest. Scott Williams probably didn't watch that book. The Hint of Forever, Part 1. This is the secret history to the DC universe of heroes who have protected humanity from the shadows since the dawn of time and who can live forever. Enter the Immortal Men. The team handled by the Immortal Man has waged a war, against the House of Conquest for countless years, but Conquest has dealt a devastating blow. With their base of operations known as the Campus is savagely attacked, Immortal Men must seek out their last hope, an emerging metahuman known as Cadent Park. Cadent emerging powers may be able to ensure the Immortal Men's survival, but will Conquest get to him first? You know what, Garrett? I know you said you're getting this book, right?
Yeah.
Is it mainly for Jim Lee, or are you interested in this story?
I'm very much interested in the storyline, like from what I read in the preview, and like I'm just excited about characters being able to kind of be in different eras of time and whatnot. And the art does help. You know, Jim Lee's art obviously does look really good. Will he be doing the art the whole time? Absolutely not. Can't do it. But I'm definitely interested to see where this storyline's going to go. Like when I read the preview and like some of those other comics, I really did enjoy it, and I'm excited to see what happens.
Okay, because I was going to say that Solis, at least for me, seems like it's it is not my cup of tea.
No, that solicit does not do that book justice. Okay. Like it should literally just be when you should say like a new kid joins an immortal group of heroes, and then boom, that's all you need to say.
As you were reading it, Marvin, and I was not enticed by what I was hearing.
Yeah, and the thing is too, like I know Gary, you said you enjoy the art. I sent you guys something recently. I think Jim Lee, there's like a Jim Lee that's like busy Jim Lee, and there's Jim Lee who's like dedicated Jim Lee. And
yeah,
the art recently, Brian Michael Bendis tweeted out a preview of his. That seems like a Jim Lee. There's a cover for Batman 45 that got tweeted out. That seems like good Jim Lee. This seems like Jim Lee did this as a favor. And like, he's like, oh yeah, let me do this so that way we have an artist on this book that, you know, is of caliber. Scott Williams actually is pretty great. I'd rather have it just be Scott Williams. I actually do enjoy his art. It is Jim Lee-esque. I understand why he's on this book with him. But it's kind of weird when they always say, when Jim Lee, like, oh, they want to, you know, they want to put the name on it. And
right.
Then it seems weird. Then you just get a transition of art that seems weird rather than have Scott Williams just do the art. So that's the only thing that would bother me. But I don't know. We'll see. You'll let me know if it's good. And then we'll jump on. Red Hood and the Outlaws, number 21. This is Scott LaBelle. Dexter Soy back in art. Looking to make his mark in Gotham City's crowded underworld, Red Hood infiltrates the Iceberg Lounge in an attempt to further annoy the Penguin. But it might be the Penguin who gets a drop on Red Hood this time. Plus, the truth about Bizarro's condition finally comes out, and the consequences could be catastrophic for Artemis. That cover is actually pretty cool. I actually do like that cover. How's that Red Hood been, Alex?
Garrett, remind me what issue 20, what the cover looked like.
Issue 20 for the cover.
That is them like fighting in a bar, isn't it?
No, it's Red Hood holding up a Bizarro shirt. Like saying,
oh, that's right. That's right. They're like a convention type of thing.
Right.
Okay. Okay. I just didn't remember if I had read it or not. I am caught up on this book. Oh, wow. Excited. This book is great. Marvin, I think I told you every time this book comes up on our list, it's a great read. This is miles above what the New 52 Red Hood and the Outlaws was. This team actually feels like a team. They actually sound and feel like they care about each other. They just want what's best for everybody. And right now, they're both Artemis and Red Hood are just focusing on Bizarro and what the hell is going on with him. Whether he's trying to be good or bad or what his internal struggle is, this book is excellent. This is honestly one of my top five Rebirth books.
Oh, absolutely. And I'm still looking out for my Superman pup. That's been a huge part of this book. And also based off the cliffhanger of last issue, shit's about to hit the fan real quick. So,
you know, you could say something about the series, even if, like you said, Alex, it's better than a New 52. I think both have had, I mean, not the end of the Red Hood New 52, but at least the beginning at Rockfort, which was a new guy who you're like, who's this guy? And then now he's like pretty, he's not huge, but he's somebody of name. And then now we have Dexter Soy, who's doing the art for this one, who's somebody that was like, who's this guy? And like, he's pretty good too. So at least the art, I mean, if anything, it looks great. And what I've read so far is very, a very fun book. So Scooby Apocalypse number 24. This is Keith Giffen and J.M. Demandis, Rob Wagner and Andy Owens on art. Garrett, how's the apocalypse going in Scooby Land?
I love this book so much. First off, on the cover, spoilers, cool, I guess. Yeah. Wow. But yeah, again, I've said it's your favorite Scooby gang just put into a different situation. Instead of solving mysteries, they're thrown into an apocalyptic wasteland where humans have been turned into monsters. Yeah, it seems like things are coming to a head. I don't foresee this series lasting too much longer, but I love every issue that's come out. You know, it's funny just seeing Fred and Daphne kiss on that cover, because that is definitely not what the series is like. It's more like Daphne's being a total bully to Fred. Don't want to say another word. Being mean to Fred, and Fred just takes this like, well, the things you do for love. So, but I'm excited to read this issue if that's actually true. And yeah, it's a fun horror nostalgia book.
Garrett, confirm or deny, you said this in behind the scenes, but you never said it on the show. You said this is a better apocalypse book than Walking Dead, right? Sideways number 3, this is Dan DiDio, Justin Jordan, and the aforementioned Kenneth Rockefort. The third issue of Sideways, I am going to admit I'm behind on one issue. I didn't read in two yet. I'm excited to catch up on that, but I know Garrett is caught up with that. He said that he enjoyed two. Am I correct?
Yes, two was really good.
Two was good.
Oh, yeah.
I'm caught up on it, too.
Okay. So are you guys looking forward to three here?
So I think this series has been great in the fact that the first issue, like, gave you enough information to, like, know who the character is. Two gave you even more perspective and continued the story we got from one. So I'm super pumped for three. I think that out of all the new age of DC books or whatever, this is probably the most successful of all the titles. Terrifics too, but I mean, as far as individual heroes, Cullen,
Terrifics is a good one.
Terrifics is a good one, but like as establishing the person of focus on the book, I think Sideways is already hitting its stride because they don't have to deal with involving four characters, just one character and his like little sidekick. But I think like, you know, we just got him dealing with a Celestial and now you get like basically his first villain. So it'll be kind of fun to see how this hero develops and like find out who their arch nemesis is and like what their weaknesses are. And it's so exciting and fun just figuring out a new world for a new hero.
That's DC Comics, I believe, because nobody else gets the rest of those books, right?
Nope. Nope.
Okay. DC Comics, moving on, IDW Publishing, Goosebumps Download or Die number 2. This is Jen Vaughn and Michelle Wong. Gary, did you pick up issue 1?
I did. I have not read it yet, though.
You have not. Well, that's issue 2. How many are these going to be?
3 issues.
3 issues each, so it's about halfway done. So pick that up. You're into Goosebumps. They just announced Goosebumps 2, I think, the movie.
Really? I didn't see that.
Oh, yeah. I think I saw this somewhere.
Hell yeah. Let's go.
TMNT Ongoing number 81. This is Tom Waltz and Kevin Eastman and Bram Revel on art. Kingdom of the Rats, part 1. New York City is in ruins after the Triceratons invasion. Various groups jockey for control in the power vacuum. But there is one who doesn't care about power, only chaos. That is the Rat King. Will the TMNT be able to stop him from doing the unspeakable? Alex, it seems like now we had a fun arc with Triceratons. Now we're getting a little darker here. How's this book been, TMNT?
I have a confession, not cut up. I'm behind by one.
You didn't read the last issue of the arc?
No.
In what been world kind of am busy. I caught up ahead of you?
Been kind of busy.
I know.
But I'm actually excited for this. The Rat King has shown up a few times in this run. Last time we had seen him, Garrett can attest, I think it was in the 60s and 70s. He's a god, or was that a pantheon?
Something
and
like
he really does just strive for chaos. So this should be good. Rat King in the 80s and even the 90s is a stable character for the Turtles to go up against. So it's nice to see him make an appearance again.
The last issue of the Triceratons arc was so good. Definitely looking forward to this because, yes, like I was saying, he's kind of – I mean, he's not necessarily like a Joker, like super comedic, but he is all about like just tearing shit up.
That's IDW Publishing. This is Image Comics, Crude number 1. This is Steve Orlando with Gary Brown on art. Killers once feared Peter Petrovich. Now they've sent his son home to him in a body bag. Hunted by his failures, Peter journeys across Russia to learn what type of man his son really was. While hunting the bastards who killed him, and once Peter finds them, they will learn to fear him once more. This is an emotional, bone-shattering account of murder, masculinity, and mayhem. You know what? I had known nothing about this book, but that doesn't sound like a half-bad premise. Crude number 1 is an Image New number 1. Steve Orlando's a good writer, so that'd be something I might need to flip through and see if it's good. I don't know about Gary Brown. Gary, he's your namesake, right?
Nope.
Gary, that you both share the same first name.
Unless it's spelled with one R, then maybe.
It's two R's. That's your spell, too.
Oh, then no.
Okay. Well, there's Crew number 1. Check that out. And you also knew number 1, Dead Hand. Number 1, this is Kyle Higgins and Stephen Mooney. Cold War Relics, part 1, Carter Carson. Say that 5 times fast. Garrett was a highly decorated operative during the Cold War, but in the fall of 1991, as the Soviet Union collapses, Carter discovers a secret that not only changed his life, but also altered the course of history. Now, as the once mysterious Dead Hand threatens to end the world once again, the only thing standing in its way is a relationship between an old spy and a little boy. Sounds like a cool little spy novel, maybe a little James Bond-esque. Also, Russia. Two Russian books come out this week, so check out those.
Cold War action, though. That's going to be a lot of fun.
Yeah, so We've been looking. I did hand. When did we see the end of? I mean, we see the preview of that. It was a few months ago, right? And we talked about it on the show. So,
yeah,
that's something we're looking forward to. Kyle Higgins recently wrapped up. What was that run he did? What was that book? I'm sorry.
Nightwing: The New Order.
He did that, and he did Hadrian's Wall, and then he's also doing your Power Rangers, right?
Yep, he's writing Mighty Morphin.
Kyle Higgins doing a little comeback here after having some personal problems, but now he's coming back here. So good for him. Deadly Class, number 33. This is the quickest another issue has come out in a long time. Rick Remender and Wesley Craig, Love Like Blood, Part 2. The first issue was a pretty action-packed issue. It seems like this is also going to be pretty action-packed. We are not letting up on that. Alex, what do you think? Looking forward to this?
You know, I am looking forward to it, but I tell you what, this second book or this second year of Deadly Class isn't this may be sacrilegious to say to you guys, it isn't living up to what book one was like, where every issue of book one, I was just, oh, I couldn't stop turning the pages. And it was so good, and the story was so riveting. Book two, it's good. I enjoy it, but there's just something not quite right. And it's not even like I don't like the new characters. I really do like the new characters. But I think a part of it for me is that Marcus and Maria are back, in which I love those two characters, but I feel like they got reintroduced too soon for me personally.
You take it back.
Can't. It's already out. It's already out there.
Yeah, I guess we'll see.
I could see that with like the pacing and everything. Like it is like it's very slow for us, but very rushed by issue we get, you know, like the release schedule has been horrendous, but as far as comics go, it's only been like, yeah, you're right. Like 5 to 8 issues of them being back. So,
yeah, I'm looking forward to it. I just hope that we get back on that upward swing. So Dry County number 2, this is Rich Tomasi and also doing the art. Rich, Lou and his pal Rob canvass the entire southern region of Florida looking, searching for Lou's missing girlfriend. Did she go missing the first issue?
Yeah.
Oh, she did? Okay. I guess I don't remember that.
Oh, he kisses her, right?
Yeah. Does she go missing yet? I thought in the first issue...
No, because I remember talking about it, that it's a mystery, but we don't know what happened yet.
Okay. So, Alex, looking forward to Drag County number 2?
I'm looking forward to just that cover. I remember issue 1's cover, amazing. Issue 2's cover, just as great. I've got a special place in my heart for pink covers. There's just something about it. I love pink covers. Sex Criminals number 1 had a pink cover. Grayson number 1 had a pink cover. Dry County number 2's got a pink cover. I'm so excited for this book. And I loved how the writing style in issue 1 was.
I was going to say, it's like a diary style. It's very low-key, so if you're looking for a mystery that's also a very personal story, that Dry County is the book for you. Gideon Falls number 2, this is Jeff Lemire and Andrea Sorrentino. This is the continuation of the Supernatural Mystery Series by the acclaimed team who brought you Green Arrow and Old Man Logan. The mystery of the Black Barn heightens as the recluse Norton begins to unravel new clues just as the murder spree breaks out in the town of Gideon Falls. But how is it all connected? The puzzle pieces begin to fall. I think I'm not speaking out of turn here if I say that we all really enjoyed this first issue.
Yeah.
And it is
a very cool book.
Yeah, I think we talked a long time about it. And if you go back to our review for number issue number 1, I would say this book right now is probably the most, if you're looking for something that feels like a movie, this one is the most cinematic book I think I'm reading right now. What do you think, Garrett?
Yeah, I mean, it's hard to emulate a certain emotion from a book. And this one is just pure horror. Like the way the art is drawn, the way the story is told, Kenny's got this sense of dread and macabre, and you can't really, it just kind of confuses you in a way that you're like trying to figure out the story, but it adds to the narrative. So, I think like each issue we're going to learn a little bit more. We're also get a couple more questions, and, I still keep thinking of that. I turned that page and there was that ghost and scared the shit out of me. I've never had a comic made me jump like that before. And I was like, if this thing about now, I'm getting goosebumps. Like, that's a freaking creepy old ghost. So,
it was very, that's the thing too. The mood it sets is very, does a great job of doing that. So,
but
just feels like a different book from Jeff Lemire than we're used to.
That also,
usually, like, he's either a lighter story, or it's even more sci-fi like Descender, or it's even more down to earth like Royal City. This is one of the first horror books that I've read by Jeff Lemire, and honestly, like you said, that ghost part, or just the whole writing in general, has got this kind of skin crawling creepiness to it. This book is excellent in issue one.
It seems like you're reading a book written by a crazy person, and I feel like if I read, like, it feels like if you read it too long, you might go crazy too. So it kind of creeps you out in that kind of way too. Oblivion Song by Robert Kirkman and Lorenzo De Felici. Nathan's obsession with Oblivion has put a strain on every aspect of his life. His love for Heather has really put the test now that he's closer than he's ever been to find out what he's truly looking for. The first issue of this, Garrett, Alex, do you like the first issue of this? I can't remember.
I love the first issue of this.
I liked it, but it was, I don't know. It's not like it was too weird for me to like it. It was something different than I was expecting.
Yeah, this is something very different from Kirkman. And while reading this, I believe we said, even Garrett, that we were going to, it's going to be more of the same. We thought Kirkman was in a rut, but I think he just is with Walking Dead right now. It's actually pretty great. Actually, fresh. It feels fresh. And he said he was, a year ahead of schedule?
Right. Yeah,
so 12 issues.
I know at least we'll get 12 issues in a row. So that actually makes me excited to keep going on with this story. So if you're looking for like a sci-fi kind of post-apocalyptic book about, it's literally monsters, or like, I guess we don't know.
Yeah. Basically, there was a bleed that happened where monsters invaded Earth. And then something happened that the monsters went back to their own dimension. But when they did, they took a lot of the human population with them.
I thought the dimension showed up and then enveloped that town or that city.
Right, that's what I said.
That's not what I heard.
It is like
the planet merged, and then when it went away to the Oblivion, it took humans with it.
It is like the movie The Mist mixed with the sci-fi movie The Oblivion. Wait a second here. So if you're interested in those two movies and you want to see them matched up, that's what it is. Versus number three, this is Ivan Brandon and Isaac Rubik. Garrett, you said you're not getting any more of this book, right?
Yep, I dropped it.
What was the decision with that? You got number two, right?
I did. I think it was just a combination of, like, yes, obviously Assad Rubik's art, super great, but I don't think the story was something that they were making me care about, or B, like, I don't think it fit his art style. Like, the story was being told did not really flow well with how the art was being drawn, in my opinion.
Alex, I'm assuming you're behind on issue two.
I'm going to at least buy this issue three.
That's what I was going to ask. You're going to buy this blindly, not reading two. And just
I've read two. I am caught up on two.
Oh, okay. And how did you like it? Did you enjoy it more than Garrett?
You know, I think the thing is that I'm actually probably on the same boat as Garrett, but I think I'm afraid to miss out on this art because this art really is great. But now that you mentioned, it's like I think about Thor, God of Thunder, and that art was immaculate. So I don't know. I'm on the fence because I think if it's a book that you guys aren't going to get, then there's no point for me to keep getting it. So
I mean, I'm
on the fence.
I'll ask you this one thing: just tell me what the story is. Like, what is the story?
See, and maybe that's the thing is I'm not sure because I know it's the military guy. I thought he got hurt and wasn't able to fight, but then they put him back in the fight.
Right. So I think they're trying to be too confusing, and I'm like, I don't really care enough to figure out this mystery. So
I think
I'll probably look through them, but I don't know if I'll buy it.
I think, and if anybody's thinking about checking out this, I mean, it's three issues in already, but I think that was our, at least my main gripe when we talked about the review was that it seemed like, you know, I'm okay with a story being nonlinear or being confusing at least. There needs to be something there at least to be like, okay, I understand mainly what's going on with the character's motivations, but I don't know exactly what's going on. But I still didn't even understand like who's who or what's that guy's name. And so it was very, like Garrett said, it's very confusing for no reason. Marvel Comics, the home of Rebirth, also the home of their new slogan, sell more books and make more memories. I believe, and you know what? It seems like I'm joking, but I'm pretty sure that's their new slogan. Marvel Comics, we got Captain America number 700. This is Mark Waid and Chris Samnee. Chris Samnee's last issue of Captain America. Out of time conclusion. Cap is finally out of time. This is the anniversary issue, 700. That means it's $5.99, plus an all-new classic take by Mark Waid and Jack Kirby. I believe they repurposed Jack Kirby's art for Untold Tale that Mark Waid wrote. So I guess we'll see how that works out. But, you know, this is something that, and I'll say as a Captain America apologizer, I thought it started out great. Even this arc I thought was great. The last issue really took a dive for me. So I don't know if I'm really excited for this. I mean, normally this would be like the book I'm excited for, right? But Chris Samnee's last issue, I'm sure he's going to hit out of the park. Mark Waid, I love. I love Captain America, but I don't know if I'm excited for the end of this song. What do you think, Garrett?
You know what? Like, I'm really not excited for this. I wish going into issue 700 that I would be more excited. But strangely, just based on what the arc, like what was happening in the arc, like I feel like they got more issues to be on it. And I was like, okay, like that's cool. But then they took it in such a weird way that I'm like, you know, I really don't care about the storyline. And I don't think it has anything to do with what they were initially setting his journey out for when they took over the book. Like, it was about rediscovering who he is and, like, you know, trying to deal with the grief of a secret empire. And then it kind of just like, or we'll push you 5 years into the future and then deal with this. So that's where I'm like, it's not really for me.
Yeah, I guess we'll see. I mean, also that $6 price tag makes it hard to swallow to pick up this book, but if it's gonna be Chris Samnee's last issue, and I believe also that his Marvel contract runs out with that issue, I'm gonna pick it up. So we'll see. I'm very optimistic about it, but we'll see what happens with that.
You said you're not gonna pick it up?
I am gonna pick it up.
Oh, okay. Sorry, I heard
That's totally Marvin. Last issue? Fuck it. I'm done with it.
Yeah,
it
wouldn't be out of character. You're right. Doctor Strange number 388. This is Donny Cates and Nico Henrichon. Damnation tie-in. Doctor Strange has played it straight, and he's tried cheating. The only way to win Mephisto's game, not to play. Alex, you caught up with this story, Damnation?
Yeah. Yes. No. No. I haven't read the last issue of Damnation.
But
I'm caught up on Doctor Strange.
What do you think? Are you excited for this? Is Donny Cates, he's kind of wrapping up his Doctor Strange run with this tie-in.
Have I missed anything from Damnation? Like, does this book take place after Damnation 3 or after just Doctor Strange?
It's going on concurrently. Okay. Damnation 3 has nothing. Well, I mean, it does have something to do with Doctor Strange, but just he's not really in it. He doesn't, you know what I mean? Did you read 3?
No, you read three. I'm caught up on Doc Strange.
I would say right now Doctor Strange is doing his own shit in his book while Damnation's about just everything going on.
Okay. So then I am excited for this book because last time when 387, Doc Strange goes to fight who he thinks are the bad guys, but are actually his friends, looking like bad guys. So I'm excited for this issue. But a lot of me is just excited that Donny Cates is writing it. And right now, Donny Cates is my man. That man can't do anything wrong. Writes two great books. Another one we'll talk about in a little bit.
Domino number 1, Gail Simone and David Beldon, with a cover by Greg Land. Bad Luck and Trouble Part 1, Impossible Curves, Impossible Shots, Impossible Targets. Marvel's number 1, Soldier of Fortune's back. An explosive new ongoing series, The Product. A failed super soldier program, Nina Thurman always made her own luck as a sharpshooting mercenary known as Domino. But what happens when her own powers betray her? The hunter becomes the hunted as every mercenary in the game spills blood in the water. Plus, a pair of beloved Marvel characters returns. Alex, I assume this is Gail Simone, so you're on it?
Yes. Yes.
And, you looking forward to it? Like, I mean, I believe you're not familiar with Domino that much, right?
I honestly don't know much about Domino. She was in that Weapon X book that Garrett and I were getting. So I really am just kind of not freeballing is not the right word. I'm jumping in blind. Can't swim.
Blind buy. That's what I said. You're blind buy writer, and that scales Simone. That should have been your answer for that game.
Blind buy.
I mean, it really is, though, because I think you've gotten everything that, at least recently, that Gail's been doing. So she's a great writer. So it's a good book if you're looking for a new book and you're excited for that Deadpool 2 and you want to know who Domino is, get that book. Exiles number one. This is Saladin Adman. Javier Rodriguez on art and David Marquez on a cover. Introducing the all-new Valkyrie. Don't Blink, the Exiles are back. This book is a book I actually am looking forward to, and I actually probably will get. It has the Wolverine from, I believe that's Scotty Young's universe, right?
I think that's Kid Wolverine, yeah.
It looks like we have Iron Lad. Right? Is that his name? I forgot his name. So I am looking forward to this book. It seems like it might be one of those books. You know where Marvel strives right now is these books that really aren't about their main characters and are left to do their own thing. So I assume this would be it. Let me look at this art. Got to confirm this art first, though, because that's only been Marvel's not strong suit recently. And that looks all right. All right. So I will try that out and let you guys know if it's good or not. Is anybody, because I assume you guys aren't even interested at all, right?
No.
Okay. No.
Old Man Logan, number 38. This is Ed Brisson in Dalibor Talajic, Moving Target Part 3. Who's this on the cover? Kingpin. Oh, yeah, we got the Kingpin story going on right now. This is kind of, is this going off of the Daredevil Kingpin story, or is it going off his Kingpin book? Or both, I guess.
It's I wouldn't say it's going off the Daredevil thing. It's more like the Kingpin comic, if you remember that. Basically, somehow, I won't say how, Logan runs into like Kingpin's operations, and then he finds out he's trying to find a way to get close to Kingpin, and he notices who's on the byline of his autobiography.
Oh, yes, that's right. This book, it hasn't been great from the last arc. I assume you guys said it took a dip in art, at least.
The art is dipping, but the story, actually, I think I really like this arc. I think him fighting Kingpin and, like, Bullseye, I think it's fun. Like, villains that aren't in his wheelhouse, this storyline is really taking me by surprise. I'm enjoying it.
I don't know. I read issue 36, that's the last one I've read. I wasn't a fan of that issue, but I trust Garrett in saying that 37 actually picked it back up and is pretty good, so I'll try to be more excited for it.
Star Wars Darth Vader number 14, this is Charles Soule and Giuseppe Camicoli. That looks like that cover of Darth Vader looks like a cover of a movie, right?
It's reminding me of like Jaws or Friday the 13th.
Yeah, I guess I can't figure out what that is, but Garrett, how's Darth Vader been this second series?
It's been so great. I think I'm having more fun in this than I ever did in the first volume from Marvel. And what's nice is like every arc, there's always like a little mystery or something that, you know, obviously the fans want to know more about. And in this case, like at the end of the last issue, there's somebody who knows that Darth Vader's Anakin Skywalker, and it's a hooded figure. You don't know who it is. And I'm just like, who is it? That's what I really want to know.
Looks like Terminator.
That's fucking Darth Vader in the water, dummy.
I said it looks like Terminator.
But,
Garrett, what are the chances this Jar Jar is coming back?
Dude, it would have said Master Annie. It wouldn't have said Skywalker.
What if he came back and he was like Skywalker, and he had a deep voice all of a sudden, and he didn't have the little accent he has?
Oh, you mean to confirm that he's the Dark Lord of the Sith that everyone forgot about?
That's why in Last Jedi, he gets taken care of quickly.
But what was really fun about the last issue and like what they do with the Darth Vader book is like, you know, he'll think back on, like he'll flashback to different parts like throughout his, prior to him being Darth Vader, and ones where he like reinterprets the fight between him and Obi-Wan at the end of the third movie. And it's Darth Vader winning instead of Obi-Wan.
What are you talking about? Obi-Wan dies in the first movie.
Shut your face. You know what I'm talking about. Episode 3.
What's that?
It comes before episode four.
There's only five movies, so.
Mm-hmm. But yeah, I think there's more character study with Darth Vader, and he is like so. It's like a baby vampire, like a baby like god or something like that, like a new god, where they just have raw, untapped potential and power. And that's what Darth Vader. He's like wounded, and so he's like fucking crazy.
You know what I find funny, Garrett?
What?
Is that and I love that explanation of the story because I actually know what this book's about now. I love how you go full spoilers in this book, but in Justice you can't say one thing about it.
Fuck, I do spoilers all the time, but it's like that's I feel like that's all you guys want from me is like spoil this issue, spoil what happens in this issue.
So Darth
Vader. If I do that every forecast, like at what point am I like, okay, I might as well just tell you everything that happens in this book.
I think you're just assuming nobody's reading Darth Vader so you can fully spoil it.
Exactly.
Thanos number 18. This is Donnie Case and Jeff Shaw. This is what Alex was talking about. At long last, Thanos wins when there's nothing left to kill. Death comes to the one who loves her most, King Thanos. How will the fantastic saga of Thanos, King Thanos, and the cosmic Ghost Rider end? Parental advisory. $3.99. And that cover, Death in the background watching Thanos and King Thanos fight it out. Alex, what do you think? I believe there's this issue and one more, right?
Now, you guys may be even more surprised. I haven't read 17 yet. So if you need to talk spoilers, I'm going to take my headset off so I can't.
No, we won't talk spoilers. 17, I mean, it's once
this
again.
This is the last solicited issue and then the annual.
Oh, the annual. The so conclusion. This will be the conclusion of the storyline and then the annual. We'll look through King Thanos' life. I will say, no spoilers, Alex, but I will say I think our assessment of the series holds true, that every issue is better than the last issue, and I don't know how that's possible because every issue is a 10. So, what the art's fantastic, the writing's fantastic. If there's anything that I wanted in a Thanos series, this was it, and I'm excited. Like, I was never in my wildest dreams would you tell me that, hey, they're going to make a cosmic Ghost Rider miniseries. And I would say, no way, not for me. And he'd say, by the way, Donny Cates is writing it. And I said, all right, let's get on board. You know what I mean? Like, yeah. It's not my book at all. But whatever comes out of this storyline or Donny Cates and Jeff Shaw, whatever they do next, I think they solidified. And we did like God Country. We did like that book. But it just was too short. I think we all assume we were like, hey, we like this world, but it's just weird that he sets it up and then it's over. I think that's where he's strongest because this world's already built. I already know the players. And he tells me a nice little story and he's done. So I'm excited to see what else he does now that he's a Marvel exclusive. I'm hoping Jeff Shaw gets signed pretty soon too. So that way he can, settle down in Marvel and him and Donny Cates do some fantastic miniseries over at Marvel. So fantastic. Pick this up. If you haven't been getting this, the third printings of the 16th issue, I think last week, and then second printings of 17 came out last week also. But I'm assuming it'll be out in a trade, and this is going to be a fantastic trade to read. So, X-Men Red number 3. This is Tom Taylor and Madame Massar. This is The Hate Machine Part 3. Gary, you're still getting X-Men Red?
Yep.
How's the book been? We got Gambit on the cover.
I really like it. I think the team is a good team. It's fresh. So far, it's not event-baited into anything. Just kind of counting down until it does, because that's when I'll obviously probably jump off. But hopefully it stays its own thing, because I think Jean Grey leading this team has been great. It's kind of cool that her number two is Laura Kinney, and then you get Honey Badger. Namor's barely been in it, and then you got Nightcrawler. And so it's got a lot of fun X-Men in there, and the storyline is compelling. It's basically they're getting new mutants and, like, offering them protection. They're like the transportation from the real world to becoming going to the Institute, basically. So they're like what Charles Xavier and Magneto used to do. I guess that's all movie continuity. I don't know anything, but basically they're the ones that get the mutants safe from the government and everybody else that's basically trying to end their lives. Or manipulate them.
A lot of good books coming out on Wednesday. A little disclaimer now. The show's going to be coming out on Tuesdays now because we're going to give you a little time to listen to the show. And then write down your list check it twice and go to the store. So this is a little heads up. On Wednesday, go pick up these books. You know what, Alex? I thought this week was going to be like kind of like, eh? Because I actually looked at, no offense to DC, but I looked at DC's books and I was like, I don't really. And then the more we went down the list, the more I'm excited. There's some good gems in there. Which one's going to be your top pick you think is going to be the one that stands out this week?
I tell you what, Image this week is nailing it. There's a lot of good books. My pick is Dry County number 2.
Garen, what about you? What stands out this week?
I'm going to go with Dead Hand number 1 just because I am a big fan of Kyle Higgins, even when he went through his depression. But anything he gets, he's kind of like my blind buy. Plus, I like the storyline, like Cold War, kind of like secret things going on. So I'm excited for that.
That was going to be my pick. I'm excited for that, too. But I'm going to go Gideon Falls number 2. Issue 1, I really did love. It was one of my favorite number one issues of the year, maybe of all time. Who knows? But I'm really looking forward to it. So a lot of good books. Alex, you know what? I heard a theory. Let me know how you're the weatherman. You have more connection with Old Man Winter than I do. I have a theory that he said he gave us a gift. So we live in the northern plains. It's very cold up here. It's been not exactly spring. We've got a couple snowstorms. We've got another one coming pretty soon. Old Man Winter, I heard a rumor. He's only doing it because he's giving him more time inside to read some comics. Is that true?
You know, it is true. He called my work phone last week, told me, Alex, I got some snow. I would like to send it to you. Could you use it? And I said, you know what? I could use it so I could sit inside, read some comic books, snuggle up with my wife, and just hang out. Yeah, that sounds great. Everyone else may hate you, but Papa P loves you. Do it.
And that's what he said. He goes, I heard you got 40 comics to catch up on. Let me give you some time. So he gave you time. So thanks to Old Man Winter. But you know what? Is it going to warm up a little bit?
You know what? It really is. Tomorrow, 54 degrees. Melt some of that 6 inches of snow we've gotten. Even your Thursday will look great. Your Thursday will look great. But Saturday, get those comic books out. You got time to catch up on them.
Listen to
Wednesday Comics.
Will you? That's good, Trish. Yeah, we'll listen to Wednesday Comics. Will you go on record and saying this Saturday will be the last snowstorm of this until next winter?
I can tell you that it will snow on Saturday. Who knows?
Garrett, these roads, this weather back and forth is not good for these roads. I've seen a lot of potholes. And people are getting a lot of accidents this morning. I saw a lot of accidents. How's it tomorrow going to be? On Wednesday, is it going to be safe?
You know, I think that, yes, there is a good selection of books. And there's only maybe a couple that I would say, like, mandatory. You have to get them as soon as you can. The rest of them, I think you probably get some dust on that shelf. So, you know, maybe you want to take a little extra time to sleep because I don't think you need to get there right away. At least they'll lay down chemical on the roads if you live in the Midwest, so you're not going to slide around if you're going the speed limit. So you shouldn't be in any rush. I think your books will still be on the shelf unless your book rhymes with anos. So
why do you refuse to talk about these potholes? I'm throwing it at you. I want to know an answer.
Because you take that shit to the city. I don't want to hear it.
You're the road guy. I thought you were with the city. Who do you work
for? I tell
you
about the fucking traffic.
Are you an independent contractor? All right.
Don't talk to me about this.
Those are the comics coming out. Make sure to pick those up and always, always consult. If you have any other questions, if you listen to it for the first time and you're like, I'm not really into comics, I listen to your show and they actually kind of interested in something, shoot us an email, shoot us a tweet, shoot us a Facebook message, and we'll be more than happy to answer. You know what? You also, when you get your stack on Wednesday, go to our Facebook page, facebook.com/WednesdayComicsPodcast. Take a picture. Post it on our wall. We'll comment and we'll let you know what looks good in your stack. I was like a nice picture of your stack, your comic books. Right, Alex? Always looks nice. Especially if you get that Dry County number 2. You see that cover pop? We want to see it pop. So always, always keep on. What's your thing? Keep on reading. Anyways, I'm Marvin.
Keep on keeping on.
Marvin. Bye-bye.
I'm Alex.
I'm Garrett.
Hey, everyone. Keep reading those books.